But if Jesus had only come, we could never have eternal life. But Jesus came so he could die for whose sins? Mine. My sin. The wickedness of my heart, Jesus died for. He loves me that much that he died for my sins. And he rose again the third day according to the scripture. Aren't you thankful that we have a God who loves us enough to give his only son? I could not imagine giving one of my kids for any of you. But you know what? You couldn't imagine giving any of your kids for me, could you? But we have a God who gave his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, because he loved us. That is love. Father, we thank you for loving us. We sure don't deserve your love, but we are truly thankful for all that you've done. We're thankful for the gift you've given to us in Jesus Christ. We ask that you would be glorified, that truly you would be worshiped. As we come together, as we gather around your word, God, we've sung praises to you. But we ask that now our hearts would continue in worship through your word. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Many times as a church family, when we think about the two words worship service, what time of the week do we think of? Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. That's our worship service. Well, many times it's easy to put that into name and call it our worship service, though really Sunday school that starts at 10 should be just as much an act of worship. The teachers as they prepare and the students as they participate. Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock should be just as much worship as Sunday mornings at 11. Sunday mornings at 11 isn't some holy sacred time. Sunday is the Lord's Day, an opportunity to gather and to worship Him as a church family throughout the day. Wednesday evenings, does that mean that's less of a worship time? We have our BLC kids and we've got our teenagers and we've got the auditorium group going on. And is that any much less worship? No. It's about worshiping Him. But then the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. All to the worship of God. Throughout this week, a constant thought on my mind and my heart should be, or the question should be, am I truly worshiping God right now? If we keep that in mind, that will change every aspect of this week. This week, if we truly ask ourselves that question throughout every day, this week will be a different week than last week was. I know in my life it would be. Am I truly worshiping God in what I'm about to think? No one else may know, but am I worshiping God in my thoughts? Am I worshiping God in my speech or what's about to come out of my mouth? Would Jesus say that? Am I worshiping God in my actions and what I'm about to do or where I'm about to go or where I'm not about to go? Maybe there are places we should go or things we should do that we don't do. Am I truly worshiping God? As you prepare for church on Sunday mornings or Sunday evenings or Wednesday evenings, that question should go through our heart and our mind. Am I truly worshiping God? We aren't here simply just to gather because that's what we do on Sunday mornings. And we're so thankful for everyone who gathers, but do we ask ourselves that question? Am I truly worshiping God? Am I worshiping God in what I'm about to do and how I'm living my life? When we think about Palm Sunday, we think about the children of Israel as they had accepted Jesus in a public sense. But the question then should be asked, were they truly worshiping God? How many of you enjoy sporting events, especially when there's pretty excitement times, right? And I mean, man, you're down to the last 30 seconds. It's a tie game and what's going to happen? Who's going to get that shot? You can feel the emotion. And that's exciting. And you get caught up in the emotion of that sporting event. Or you ever gone to a play? I mean, and they've done just a fantastic... you're right there and you're involved. And man, just the emotions are gripping. I mean, you just feel the emotion. And then there's that standing ovation. I mean, and it just goes on for like 5 minutes. It's just incredible because you're caught up in the moment. As we gather on Sunday mornings, I don't want any of us to get caught up in the moment. Just caught up in the moment of, we've got nice, exciting music and song leading and here's this and that, and this is such a great time. I'm just simply going to get caught up in the moment. But as we're doing all of these things, as we have a pianist who works on it, and as we have song leaders who present to us singing, it's not just so we get caught up in the moment, but so that we can truly worship God as we participate in the service. Because getting caught up in the moment will leave us when we pull out of the parking lot, or maybe after lunch, because something will happen and we'll get distracted, and we don't want to simply get caught up in the moment of worship. We want to truly worship God. And it's not simply singing time. Many times worship is thought of as music. Music is one aspect of worship. But in and of itself, music is not worship. As Joanne plays the offertory, yes, it should be worship from her heart, but that must be worship from our hearts. Music is a very emotional language, and it is meant to draw in the feelings. And yes, even with our feelings, we must worship God through that music. But it's not simply the music time of our service. In fact, really, I've thought about it some. And different churches do different ways on how they do their announcements. But the announcement time should be a time of worship. We're not just having some commercial break when I share announcements. Whew, we get to talk now. Or the offering. It's a good time just to chat with my neighbor about, you know, that score or that was good. I mean, no, wait a second. All of our service should be worship. As we share the announcements, it's for things that are going on so that we as a church family can worship throughout the week together in different activities. Whether it be roadside cleanup, that should be an act of worship. Whether it be helping out in the craft time for BLC, that is an act of worship. Ask yourself this question throughout this week. Am I truly worshiping God? Either in what I'm doing right now or what I'm about to do. And can you only imagine how that would change our lives this week? It would change my perspective. Am I truly worshiping God? Would that stop worry this week? Would that stop anger this week? Would that stop lustful thoughts this week? Would that stop any other kind of attitude, behavior? Fighting, whatever it may be, am I truly worshiping God? Let's not be like at times the children of Israel, who at times were worshiping on the outside, but the worship didn't come from the heart. Father, we thank you for your love. God, we ask that you would speak to our hearts as we evaluate our lives. Am I truly worshiping? God, I pray that you would help us today to truly worship, not just during the song time this morning, but during the preaching time, and not just during this morning service, but during lunch and throughout the afternoon. And as we gather again at 6 o'clock this evening and throughout the workday and school day tomorrow and whatever goes on throughout the week, and as we gather, God, that truly we would worship you. Would you help us to let you challenge us in our thinking. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 19, the passage we'll be looking at this morning, we see that Jesus Christ was entering the city of Jerusalem. It's incredible to think about Jerusalem in the way that is seen throughout the Bible, and really even that Jerusalem was around before Israel was a nation. But it's incredible to see Jerusalem, the city of God, that God chose for multiple things. And here we see the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ. He comes to the city. I mean, his earthly ministry for about 3 years has been serving people, doing miracles. Why? To give God glory. Why did he raise Lazarus from the dead? As he's praying, God, so you can be glorified. My Father. Yes, Jesus is God. But he's praying to his Father. And last Sunday evening, as we talked, as we were having the Lord's table, and we spent the evening service really meditating on Jesus loves me. Remember, we talked about that song, Jesus loves me, this I know. And seeing the reality of that through his suffering and his willingness to suffer, his preparation for that suffering. But as Jesus went through all of life and all of his ministry, it was so that God could be glorified. So that God could be worshipped. Worship him. Christmas, Christ Mass, literally means Christ worship. Now, we don't call our Sunday morning get-together Mass. But it truly should be an act of worship. Not just in word, but from the heart. In Mark chapter 11, verse number 1, it says, and we see the reality of this, when they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethpage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way, and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loose him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, what do ye, loosing the colt? And they said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. If you and I are going to truly worship God this morning, and as we gather publicly, corporately together as a church family, if we're going to truly worship God in the actions and thoughts that we have throughout the week, we must remember three truths. Number one, I must recognize Jesus. I must recognize Jesus. As Jesus is getting ready here to enter the city, it's about him. There was a certain way he was going to be entering the city. He was going to be on a colt, on a donkey, on one that hadn't been ridden. Have you ever tried to ride a horse that hasn't been ridden? It doesn't like someone sitting on its back. And you know, you think about some of those different aspects. Here is Jesus Christ coming in, fulfilling prophecy. Zechariah 9:9 says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass, a baby donkey. Here's prophesied all these years before that Jesus would come. If you and I are going to truly worship Jesus, we must recognize him for who he is. We must recognize the prophecies of Jesus. There are so many prophecies throughout the Old Testament about Jesus and who he is and what he was going to do. Promised. And it was revealed little by little. We see some of these different things. Genesis chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I, God, said, will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. There was a promise that Satan only had so much power. And we see as we continue throughout Genesis, Genesis 12, 1 through 3, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. God directed Abram. And I will make of thee a great nation. We're talking about that in the auditorium Sunday school class and even Wednesday evenings being fruitful as we begin looking at the book of Judges. God says, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Again, as we look ahead and see Jesus coming through the lineage of Abraham, through the children of Israel, prophecy after prophecy, Jesus is coming. Galatians 4 reminds us that when in the fullness of time, Christ became a man. And we're reminded prophecy after prophecy of Jesus coming, prophecy after prophecy of his death, of who he is. Isaiah 53, we won't turn there right now, but I encourage you to read that Isaiah 53, the entire chapter, really prophecy of what Jesus was going to do for us. Not simply that he would come, but that he would come and he would die. All we like sheep are led astray. We've turned from our own ways, and the iniquity of us was laid on him. The prophecies of Jesus Christ. If you and I are truly going to worship, we must recognize Jesus. He is the God of the prophecies. He's not just some other religious leader. Maybe you've had a doubt before. Is Jesus really who he says he is? I've wondered that at times. Is Jesus really God? But we go back to the Word of God and we see the prophecy after prophecy after prophecy and the fulfillment of that. Unlike Muhammad, unlike all these other religions that are out there and religious leaders that they look up to, prophecy after prophecy being fulfilled in Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah. As we truly worship, we must recognize Jesus and that he is the one who fulfilled all prophecies. But not just simply recognize the prophecies of Jesus, we must recognize the reality of Jesus. It's interesting, Mark chapter 11, again we see this truth. Jesus told them in verse 2 to go your way into the village over against you. So he told them where to go. He told them what to do. He said, you shall find a colt tied whereon never man sat. Loose him and what? Bring him. Jesus was about to be recognized in the city of Jerusalem. This is what we often call the triumphal entry. We think of the palm branches and the clothes scattered in the way. Hosanna, Hosanna! Glory to God! And and just the emotion and the frenzy of emotion that day. And again, God has made us emotional beings. Emotional because we're in the image of God. And so our worship should include emotion. But it's not simply for emotion. Jesus was going to present himself to the city. And how was he to be presented? In the way that he said. These disciples could have gone to the city and said, not a donkey, let's go get a horse. Okay, well, we'll bring a donkey, but let's bring a wagon so he can sit in the back of that. No, it wasn't their way, it was God's way. And as we gather as a church family, it's not so we can do music our way. That music doesn't make me feel good. Worship music is not about simply stirring my emotions, but giving glory to God through the words and the music that corresponds with the words. We can't do it in our way. It has to be God's way. Recognize the reality of Jesus. He must be presented his way. John chapter 4, and I read through some of this morning. But in John chapter 4, verse 19, where we see this woman at the well, Jesus is presenting himself to her. Did she have issues in life? Oh boy. Don't I have issues in life? As Jesus Christ is presenting himself to this woman, and going through this process, he tells her that he is the living water. He was asking her for water, and, well, wait a second, what's going on? Why would you even talk to me? And so many different things. And at the end of this passage, Jesus is saying, okay, so you guys say you worship here, and we say we worship in Jerusalem, but we must worship in truth. John 4. Verse 22, ye worship ye know not what, we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is when the true worshipers, this is a description of those who worship God. Let me tell you, there are so many people who are worshiping this morning. They are worshiping. What are they worshiping? Some people don't know. Some people are worshiping a God who is dead. And they bow before an idol somewhere. We think, well, that's only other countries. Predominantly, when people bow before idols, we think of some of these other countries and their religious backgrounds. But are they worshiping? Yes. As you and I go through life this week, every day, we worship. What do we put our stock in? What are we trying to build up in life? Is it me? Is it God? See, Jesus is saying the true worshipers, not just those who say they worship. 1 John, we're dealing with that on Sunday evenings. You can say, but if you do, and you act this way, then you're lying. Jesus says the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. So if you and I are going to worship God, that means we must know some truth about Him. If we go out and we invite our friends to come worship with us, or our neighbors and say, hey, would you come out to church with me? Yeah, I'll come tomorrow. But you never tell them where you go to church. They could get in their car and they could drive and they could find some church and maybe somehow happen to come upon the church that you go to. But they must know some truth about it. See, Jesus says if we're truly going to worship God, we must worship in spirit, the inside, not just actions, and in truth. We must know truth about God. There are reasons we use and we worship God with the music that we have as a church family. There's truth about God and His character. We must know the truth about Him. So many different ways. Well, Jesus, He says, as He's going into the city of Jerusalem, there's one way He was to be brought in. Prophecies foretold He would come in this way. There's truth. We must know the reality of Jesus. That He is God. Exodus chapter 20, we think of the Ten Commandments, if you will, and you think back to that. Worship the Lord thy God with all thy heart. I mean, you go through, we see other passages in Deuteronomy that talk about with our heart, and really throughout the Scripture, with all your heart. If we're only to worship God, and Jesus is God, we must worship Him. But we must worship Him in truth. There are many people, again, who say, this music helps me worship God. Certain types of music can help us as we worship God and should be worshiped. In fact, I try to challenge the choir even as we practice. That is an act of worship to God. But it's not simply, worship is not simply which moves my emotions to make me feel worshipful to God or make me feel good about God. Worship is not predominantly about me. Jesus is saying that even to this woman at the well. It's not about what makes you feel good, but it's about God. They that worship Him, it's not in this mountain, it's not in Jerusalem, it's in spirit and in truth. He says, the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. It's about Him. Our morning service, our evening service, our Wednesday evening service, it's about Him. My day tomorrow, whether it's at work or school or whatever it may be, it must be about Him. That's how I can truly worship God. I must recognize Jesus in every aspect of life, the prophecies about Him, the reality of Him, the truth of who He really is. But then also recognizing the character of Jesus. He is divine. He's not just some other man who came down to this earth. He is God Himself. And we think, from our perspectives, we could say, well, wouldn't a king come some other way? And you think of today's day and age, what about a limo or whatnot? I mean, we could think, well, what about a horse? A horse is so much greater than a donkey. But again, going back to this whole reality, animals which had never before been used were alone admissible for sacred purposes. I mean, we think about the reality of the law in the Old Testament. What kind of an animal were they to bring in sacrifice? The one that had the most blemishes because it didn't cost them much and they were going to lose it anyway? It was the one without spot or blemish. So here, even this animal that was brought, nobody had ever sat on it before. This is fresh. This is new because Jesus is divine. He is God. Recognize the character of Jesus. He is divine. His dignity. No circumstances of an earthly monarch, because His kingdom was not of this world. His kingdom was of a different type. Think about some of the parades in the Bible. Really, this is a sort of a parade, right? Everybody is there, lining the streets, waving their palm branches in their outer garments and whatever it may be. Why? In an act of worship to Jesus. But think about some of the other parades in the Bible. One that comes to my mind is David and Saul. Saul's killed his thousands. David is 10,000. I mean, people are lining the streets and cheering because it's exciting, because there was victory. It was about those men. And here, as Jesus Christ comes, it's not with some sort of pomp and circumstance of some king who just was anointed, but of Jesus whose kingdom is not of this world. And yet someday will reign on the throne of David. I mean, we know that reality of that, and the promise that will be fulfilled yet. So we see the dignity of Christ. We see the humility of Christ and how he came. This horse didn't, or this donkey wasn't a horse. This donkey wasn't saddled. I mean, here are the disciples, what did they do? They put on their garments on that horse, or on that donkey there. Verse 7, and they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. The humility of Christ. His way. He didn't line this all up and say, okay, there's going to be this big parade this time, such and time, and I'm coming in and this is what we do. The humility of Christ. And so as we worship God, we recognize Jesus for who he is and all of his character. And there's so many other character traits about Jesus that we must worship and recognize. But if this morning and tonight and Wednesday, and thus not just our corporate worship, but everything I do privately, is truly going to worship God, I must, number one, recognize Jesus. But number two, I need to respond to Jesus. Can I tell you that if you sit here and you recognize Jesus and you don't respond to the preaching of the word, that doesn't mean you have to come forward and pray. That doesn't mean you have to whatever. But if you don't respond to the preaching of the word, you aren't worshiping God. You say, well, that's pretty harsh. But we see throughout God's word, there's a response to the preaching of the word. And here, even in this crowd, there's a response to the presentation of Jesus. It's often easier to obey in a crowd that's obeying, isn't it, than when I'm all alone. And so thus, it's easier for us to publicly worship when we're all together. Some of you say, I hate singing alone because I hear my voice. Right? I mean, I know there are people who go through, but man, when we get together, there's just something special about all these voices joined together with the instruments and worshiping God. There's a response to the presentation of Jesus. We must respond to Jesus. Number one, we respond in actions. We respond to Jesus with our actions. The preaching of the word. There's application for my life today. And there's application for this week. When I spend my quiet time with God, whether it's in the morning or at night or sometime in the day, am I responding to the word or am I simply fulfilling my task? Can I tell you, there have been multiple times I've simply fulfilled my task. But our quiet time with God every day is not about what can I get out of this, but am I worshiping God? And thus, that worship will change my life because I will recognize Jesus for who he is in God's word. And then I will respond. I will respond with a heart wanting to obey. Think about Isaiah. Here he's God is saying, who will go for us? And Isaiah finally says, here am I, Lord, send me. But what all happens before this? Isaiah chapter 6, he sees God for who he is. His worship of God affects his inner being, not simply his actions. But he then responded with actions. He admits, he says, my lips are unclean, I'm an unclean man. I mean, so he's admitting stuff about himself. But he's willing to serve God. Here at Jeruel, we don't want you just to do stuff so it's part of what you do in coming to church. It's truly an act of worship. Why do you serve in BLC, all of you who serve there? Hopefully, one, you love kids. But hopefully, ultimately, it's because you love God. And that's what God has called you to do, and that's your act of worship on Wednesday evenings. Why the nursery? Yes, because you love kids, but because you love God more than you love kids, more than you love sitting in a quiet auditorium so we can hear God's word. Why is it that you teach in Sunday school or you're willing to help in some of our classes? Why? Because it's an act of worship. Because that is what God has called you to do, and you are responding to all that God has done for your life. Here, as Jesus Christ enters the city, verse 8, and many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest! And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. Jesus was presented. They recognized Jesus. They had seen Jesus in his earthly ministry. But there was something different that day. They recognized Jesus, and then they responded with their actions. Not with swords in a procession of some king, but with what they had. Their outer garments, their cloak, their coat. With the branches that they could cut off a tree and worship God about him. It reminds me of even when Jesus says, the trees of the field will clap their hands. Reminded of that. I believe it's in Psalms or wherever. But that trees and the rocks will cry out, Jesus says. And I mean, there is the reality of creation worshiping. But we true worshipers must worship. And we can utilize these things to worship him. Why do we take care of planet Earth, if you will? Not because we're tree huggers. But because we're God lovers and we want to worship him with what he's given us opportunity to be a wise steward of. I must recognize Jesus and I must respond to Jesus. It was an Oriental custom to lay costly rugs before the king. These weren't costly rugs. In fact, many of the people that worshiped Jesus didn't have costly anything. But what they had, they gave. Doesn't that remind you of the Magi who came to worship the newborn king? They had wealth, and they offered wealth. You say, well, I don't have wealth. Give them what's wealthy to you. Worship God in action. Your time, isn't time important to us? You know, it is said that with technology, it helps speed things up. But it only makes it faster so we can do a ton more things, and it just makes our life busier. Time, some people say time is what? Money. Worship God with your time. We gather together as a church family, and I know it can be difficult at different times throughout the week. It's not coming about, we're glad to see you here. Karen and I have talked about that quite a bit lately. First, I'm glad you're all here. But you don't come because of us. We come because of God. That's what Sunday evenings are about and Wednesdays. And I know there are things in our lives and in some of our lives that we just can't get by. There are some things that we just can't go on. And does God know and understand that? Yes or no? He does know that, doesn't he? And he sure understands. But if you're able, will you worship God together as a church family? But it's not just about corporately gathering. It's everything I do throughout the week. I must respond in worship to God. Changes the way I live. It's giving of my time. It's giving of my valuables to Him throughout the week. Setting aside time in God's Word, whether it's in the morning or at night alone, is worship. Because it's me setting aside my time saying, God, this is your time. Not just my other checklist. You can brush your teeth while you're running around the house, can't you? I mean, you can eat a meal while you're driving down the road. And yes, we can worship God during times like that too. But there should be some time we just set aside and say, God, this is your time. Children of Israel here, they're setting aside time, many of them, not knowing this was happening. But they stopped what they were doing. Hosanna! It's about Him responding to Jesus. Responding in their actions. Responding in voice then. It's not just you gathering together and doing things that are worshipful. But even in voice. It's okay to say in a public place, praise the Lord. I have. Any of you ever felt awkward? Like, man, I don't know if I should say praise the Lord here. Anybody other than me? Like, what are they going to think? I remember, those thoughts can't, what are they going to think? But it's God who did it. He needs worshiped. And He says that others may behold your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The only way for the lost and dying world to glorify God is not just that we live different, but that we speak different about Him, giving Him glory. Many people throughout a number of years have come up with this idea of we will simply have lifestyle evangelism. I will live my life in a way that's honoring to God. And if I do that, people will ask me why I'm different. Now, hopefully people will. But Jesus didn't simply say, live different so that others can tell you. He called them to preach and to present the gospel. It was with a voice. And even as they gathered here to worship Him, it was with not just actions, but with their voices. You say, I don't sing good. That's why I don't sing when we gather together. Remember, that's not about you. We aren't singing because you sing good. We aren't singing because you like singing. We're singing because it's an act of worship to God. It's about Him. Everything we should do in the morning service or evening service or Wednesday as a church family in our services, everything we should do is about Him. Has nothing to do with me. Not a thing except that I must respond and worship to Him. Because He is worthy of my worship. So we sing together as a church family. We participate. Children of Israel, they would participate. These people here, as they lined the streets, they participated. Well, I might look goofy if I'm swinging some palm branch. If I'm taking my coat off and setting it aside and letting this donkey ride on. Wait a second. It had nothing to do with what they looked like to the lost and dying world around them. Now, many of them, yes, I know, sadly, less than a week later, turned on Him and cried, crucify Him, crucify Him. But that's why we're asking ourselves this question this morning. Am I truly worshiping? Or am I just going through the motions and the actions? Many times I've gone through the motions and the actions because that's what we do on Sunday mornings. You ever got to the end of one of the songs we've sung and you're like, what were those words? I don't even know what I was thinking about, but it had nothing to do with that song. When we sing these songs, whether it's Rob or whether it's Bill who's leading these songs are meant so that the words we say and the music goes along with them is worshiping to God. My heart crying out. As the offertory is played, Joanne's heart is not, let's see how big and however I can make this. It's about God being glorified through even the presentation of that song. God is awesome. And He's worthy of our awesome, not our awesomeness, but the best that we can give Him. I must respond to Jesus. Actively worshiping as we're together. But actively worshiping in my actions and voice when I have my own quiet time with God. But it's not, if I'm going to be a true worshiper, it's not enough to recognize Jesus, or even just to respond to Jesus. But I must also remove sin. That's tough, because that takes admission of guilt. It goes on. Jesus Christ entered Jerusalem, verse 11, and into the temple. And when he had looked round upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany and the 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee thereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And then he enters into the city again. And they come to Jerusalem. And Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But ye have made it a den of what? And the scribes and the chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city. If you and I are going to truly worship God this week, yes, we've been presented with Jesus. Aren't you thankful for who Jesus is? And I trust today you're responding as we corporately worship, whether it be through singing and participating. But when God points out sin in our lives, we must remove it. And I trust that God points out sin in your life in your own private devotions. Man, God, would you help me with that? I know I'm struggling with that. Removing that sin. There was public sin. Jesus said that his father's house had been turned into a place of thieves. These people were about them. They were there doing these things. Yes, these acts of worship that the pilgrims and these others coming to the temple would need, and selling these animals and other things. But it had become all about them instead of all about God. Public sin. Jesus drove out the sellers and buyers. In fact, John chapter 2, we see he'd already done this once. The house of God had been desecrated. And we don't want to desecrate God. Yes, this is the church building where we worship God, but as we're reminded in John 4, we can worship anywhere in spirit and in truth. But there is something special that we come corporately together and worship God. But when I have sin, unconfessed sin in my life, is that worshipful to God when I come together? Here we are offering an act of worship as a church family. Many of us here. We look around and I don't know how many there are, but there's a lot of us here. Publicly, corporately worshiping God together. Am I going to destroy that with my sin in my life? Will I hinder that worship? Personal sin, not just the public sin, but individuals here were cast out. So true worshipers in public life, I must recognize Jesus during the service times, and we've talked about different aspects of seeing Jesus and the announcements, putting him forth of what we do. The congregational singing, special music, scripture reading. It's not just, oh, Pastor Josh will preach about that later. It's our time. We can just kind of get lost for a couple seconds. We're so used to commercial breaks because of our media and our world today. But the morning worship service has no commercials in it. It should be all about pointing out Jesus. Responding to Jesus by participating in congregational singing and participating from the heart when it's special music, whether it's an offertory or next Sunday morning with the choir and special readings. Letting God speak to you and change you because it's all about Him. And then removing sin. Whatever distractions are in my life that are distracting me from God. If you're here and you don't know Jesus as Savior, this is all about Him. And you can't truly worship Him unless you ask for His forgiveness of your sin. He died on the cross for your sin and for mine. But if you're here and you know Jesus Christ as Savior, are you truly worshiping God? Are you truly worshiping as we gather together? Or are you just going through the motions? Are you truly worshiping as you live life tomorrow and when you go home and eat lunch and whatever you do this afternoon and this evening? Are you truly worshiping God in that? Or are you doing just what's easiest and what just comes naturally? Let's ask ourselves that question this week. Am I truly what? Worshiping.